Hi, it's Ian Pickus. We are back in the Congressional Corner today with Vermont Representative at Large Becca Ballant, a Democrat in office since 2023 who just won re-election to a second term. Congresswoman Ballant, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in this post-election time, I've been getting everybody's thoughts on this show about how things turned out. Obviously, it wasn't a great election for your party. As you've had a few days to let it sink in, what do you think went wrong?
I think there were multiple factors at play here, and I want to be really clear that I do not think there was any one factor that led to the performance of the presidential ticket on our side or the fact that we did not take the House or retain the Senate. There's not one thing. There are multiple things. There is the fact that we are in a time of economic disparity that we haven't seen in 100 years, and voters are feeling that. Their dollars are not going as far, wages are stagnant, people are still struggling with those higher prices after the impacts of the pandemic economy. There's also a crisis of loneliness and disconnection. I just want to remind everybody that the Surgeon General flagged that for us several years ago, that it's a public health crisis in terms of people feeling disconnected from their communities. That helps to drive division. And there were certainly factors related to the underlying things that impact these elections, too, are issues around, how people feel about women's leadership, how racism comes into play. And one of the things that I want to be clear on whenever I am talking with constituents of the press is that we as Democrats have to be fearless in our willingness to dive deeply into the data in each of these districts to find out what were the messages that we had that we're not getting through. Because when you look at what our Democratic policies are, they are hugely popular. People want higher wages. People want investments in housing. People want to make sure Social Security and Medicare are protected. They want the very wealthy to pay more in taxes. They want corporations to be more responsible. And so it's not as if what we are delivering is not what the people want, but clearly the way we're talking about it and the way in which we are trying to reach those voters, it's not working. And so we need some humility and a whole lot of curiosity in order to diagnose the problem clearly so that we can then figure out the prescription. And I'm absolutely committed to doing that work. And, we have a severe housing crisis in Vermont, and I know it's not unique to Vermont, but it's especially acute in Vermont. And so in this moment, that is a place where I am going to need to partner with Republicans and folks from in my own party from perhaps less progressive districts to help solve this problem. And if Republicans are serious about the suffering of working people in this country, they need to partner with us on policies that Americans want. And so far, in the last 2 years, we have not seen that. And so it's a new Congress. I am I'm a person who is a glass half full kind of gal. I'm going to constantly be looking for that. But I think, it was bitterly disappointing that you had the least productive House in modern history at the hands of Republican leadership, and we still couldn't win the majority. So we got to do some soul searching, and we need humility and listening deeply to our constituents and what they're telling us. And I'm ready to do that.
Now, I want to dive into some of the issues you've raised. But before we do that, you were reelected on Election Day. And so
I sure was, yes.
what message do you think voters were sending you in particular, despite the national trends that were going in the other direction?
Vermonters care deeply about the health of the democracy. They really do. They are engaged. I always say that Vermont is a people-sized state. People go to town meetings. People go to school board meetings. People engage directly with their elected officials. And I heard over and over again that they're concerned that there aren't enough guardrails on Trump and the MAGA movement's worst tendencies. And I think that is borne out by what we have seen as his really extremist picks for the cabinet. I mean, some of his picks are absolutely dystopian. And from Tulsi Gabbard, who, you know, is absolutely not somebody who can be trusted with national security secrets, to Robert F. Kennedy, who is, I think, is going to bring us backward on protecting children against childhood diseases like polio and measles. And so we have to not take our eye off the very important work of protecting our institutions. And I think you and I have talked before about my concerns that the faith in government and our institutions is at an all-time low. And that is the work that we also must do while trying to pass policies. And I think that after the dust settles and people see what Trump and the MAGA movement are offering to the American people, I think there's going to be some buyer's remorse. I really do.
But don't, I'm sorry to interrupt, but don't,
please.
I mean, didn't we already know what Trump would be offering? I mean, we had a term of, you know, a lot of chaos and policy by tweets and, you know, putting people in positions where they might not have been qualified. And voters knew all of that heading into this election.
No. I will also say, yes, some do. Some do know. Some absolutely understood this. And for them, the economic issues took precedent. However, in our own conversations with constituents, and by our, I mean Democrats in battleground districts, there has been somewhat of a collective amnesia about the worst elements of that presidency, and certainly young people, they don't remember what it was like. And so it's some of each, you know, it's a yes and.
Mm-hmm. Before we run out of time in today's segment, I was actually getting ready to speak to you, and I was thinking about your biography. You know, you were a teacher.
Yes.
And your colleague in the delegation from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, says that Democrats kind of left behind working people, and working people in turn left Democrats behind. Do you agree with that conclusion based on this election?
I think there absolutely is an element of truth in the fact that we have to be singularly focused on the needs of a broad coalition of working people. I do not think it is the sole driver for what happened here. And when you look at the policies that were passed by the Biden administration, so many of them were progressive policies that were very heavily supportive of unions and leveling the playing field. And so it's much more complicated than the policies that we offered. Look, we had housing assistance, we had family tax credits, we had child tax credits, we had things that materially change the lives of people living in poverty. And so I don't think that it's as tidy or straightforward as we would like it to be. And so we do need, like I said, we have to approach this with humility. The investments that were made in families under the Trump administration were made because Democrats pushed hard to pass them in the House and brought along the Senate. So Bernie is someone who, you know, I listen to deeply, and he has a lot of wisdom and experience to share. But it's not as simple as saying we abandoned the working class. The way we are trying to reach the working class with how we are doing work for unions and for working families, the way that we're reaching them isn't working. It's not working.
We've been speaking with Vermont Representative at Large Becca Ballant, a Democrat who was just reelected to a second term in the new year. Congresswoman Ballant, when we come back the next time, let's talk about what you'll do next.